I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Oftentimes called the Westminster Abbey of the Christian faith. Others call it the Heroes Hall of Faith. Yes, faith is indeed the theme and the context that we are looking at. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, it is by no accident that the Word of God says in Hebrews 10:38, setting the stage for what follows, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith." And here in Hebrews 10:38, the stage is being set. The writer of the book of Hebrews is about to personify, to flesh out, give us Old Testament examples of individuals that walked by faith. You know, our generation today of young people need to see biblical qualities fleshed out by men and women in the local church that are living out those truths from the Word of God. And we have the benefit and the privilege of looking into the Scriptures to hear and study. How many of us, ever since we've been knee-high to a grasshopper, have been hearing the great stories that we're about to read and study in our series on the book of Hebrews, chapter 11? Many of us, even by flannel graph, received so many blessings. How many of you like flannel graph? I still love flannel graph. I might get Frances up here with her Betty Lucas, and while I'm preaching, she can put the figures up. But I love flannel graph, and I cut my teeth as a young boy on flannel graph. I remember we used to have vacation Bible school with tents in the area. Let me explain to you why the writer of the book of Hebrews was even talking about the element of faith. And let me explain to you, why is it that he went into the Old Testament? You see, there were many Hebrew professing believers that were contemplating going back into the law. The sufferings and the persecutions and the sacrifices that they were making were extremely difficult. And they were wondering whether the Christian life was really worth it after all. And maybe they just ought to go back into Judaism. The writer of the book of Hebrews goes back into the Old Testament, wherein these people were wanting to go back to, and he illustrates faith has always been the common denominator in pleasing God. No matter what dispensation you live in. And he begins to demonstrate that all of the Bible characters exercised faith. At whatever stage of biblical revelation they were. But these Hebrew readers needed to see that they understood far more than these Old Testament Bible characters. And God expected these Hebrew readers to respond to the full revelation that God had given to them. And therefore, they were to understand what the faith walk was all about. Verse 38 of chapter 10, "The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back," and that's referring to what some of these Hebrew readers were planning on doing, "my soul shall have no pleasure in them." How could they go back to a system that can only reveal their sin but not do away with it? But it says, "We are not of them who draw back unto perdition." Now, that's not referring to losing your salvation. It's referring to going back into a system that can only reveal perdition without the means of the provision of salvation. And they needed to understand that Christ was better than the old covenant. And that's what the whole book of Hebrews was all about. Now, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to make some introductory comments on our passage for today. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, when we start talking about this element of faith and the question of our message, because our message is entitled, What is Faith? From Hebrews chapter 1. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Let me tell you what type of faith is not being referred to. How many of you have ever heard of the faith movement today? Let me see your hands. There are many that are part of the faith movement. It's a charismatic movement. It's also called the Word of Faith Ministry. And it's basically a name it and claim it theology. It speaks of faith, get this, as a personal power to create your own reality. The faith movement is growing by leaps and bounds in the Christian, professing Christian community today. It is a mixture of New Age and errant Bible theology. It teaches that we can have faith to create our own reality. Oftentimes you'll hear preachers say to large crowds today, design and manufacture your own future. You can be anything you want to be. And it actually places man as the center of that faith and not God. You can create your own healing. You can create your own wealth. You can create your own success just by practicing spiritual visualization. Let me give you a definition of what biblical faith is being looked at and what we are seeing here in chapter 11. We're not talking about a man-centered visualization, create your own future, health and wealth, name it and claim it theology. That is not faith. That's an aberration of faith. It is a distortion. It's an extension of the satanic lie of Genesis chapter 3. Biblical faith is a God-given ability to trust the future that God has promised you. And that future is laid out in the scripture. It's given to every believer. Faith is responding to the spoken and written word of God. Faith is God-centered. It is centered upon His revelation. It is not a man-centered faith that feeds on its own greed and lust for material possessions and acquisition of power. You look at the people in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that we're going to be studying in the coming weeks. If these people in Hebrews 11 had had a choice in writing their future, they wouldn't have chosen suffering. They wouldn't have chosen the pathway that they did. You don't see the health, wealth, theology revealed in any of these individuals' lives. As a matter of fact, The testimony and lives of these people are replete with suffering and challenges, but they were all responding to one common denominator. God had spoken to them, and they responded by faith, even though in some cases it didn't make sense. And it meant stepping out into the unknown, out of their own comfort zone. And that's the concept that we're looking at here. Now, many of the people that we're about to study had what we call special revelatory experiences back prior to the time when the Word of God was completed. God spoke directly to man and revealed His Word audibly, visually to man. Today, we are living in that period of time that 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 speaks about. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the completed word of God before us. Therefore, faith for us will be responding to the teachings within this book. It is not a matter of the satisfaction and the seeking to satisfy our own lusts, like in the health and wealth movement, but responding to God's word. As we look at the book of Hebrews, dear people, we see that the entire message of Hebrews is that Christ is better. The word better is found 13 times in the book of Hebrews. We hear about Jesus being better than the prophets, for instance. The Old Testament prophets spoke for the Lord, but Jesus Christ was the very living Word who dwelt among us, and He was the express image of His Heavenly Father. We read in the book of Hebrews how that Jesus was better than the angels. Angels were created messengers of God, where Jesus Christ, not an angel, as the Jehovah Witnesses would attest, but He was the very God incarnate, the God-man incarnate, the eternal Son of God, never ceasing to be God. He was the Messiah of the Old Testament. We read about that Jesus was better than Moses. Moses was a servant in God's house, but Jesus Christ was the very builder of that house. And He has told us, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We read in the book of Hebrews how that Jesus was superior to the Old Testament priesthood. You remember that Abram paid tithes to Melchizedek when the Levitical priesthood was still in his loins, and that's the whole message of Hebrews chapter 7, and how that the sacrifice of the Old Testament needed to be repeated over and over and over again. But Jesus was that better sacrifice because He gave Himself once for all. And therefore, we respond by faith. The readers of this book needed to understand and to know about faith. Jews who had professed faith in Christ, but now were wavering because of the tribulations that they were going through. And He uses Hebrews 11 to bolster the faith of these Jews, the lives of people in Hebrews 11 that had their lives marked by faith. Now, let's take a look at the text now. In verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11, we're only going to get to cover 3 verses today, but now let's look at the essence of faith. The essence of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, the King James chooses the word substance, and I like that. Because substance means that you can grab hold of it. It's something that's tangible. It's something that's now. It's something that provides assurance, peace, weight to what we believe. It's the basis for holy living. That word substance is found in two other places in the book of Hebrews. Don't lose your place in Hebrews 11. When the Bible talks about substance, look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ being the brightness of his glory and the express image. You see that word image? That's the word substance. You could grab hold on to Jesus, and many did. You can understand and behold Jesus, and he dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. Jesus was the very substance of God, which is spirit. Jesus came and became substance. And he has a glorified body at the right hand of the Father. Then the word substance is found again in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. And notice in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence." You see that word confidence? That's the same word translated substance in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. We're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. Confidence speaks of a deep assurance. So faith, putting it all together, is the essence of our assurance of things yet in the future. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Abraham looked for a city whose maker and builder was God. By faith, he saw it as substantial, as present, as if it were true in a reality, you see, before him. And oh, how we need to have that type of faith. But then it continues. It says, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. Faith is a heartfelt assurance that what God says assuredly will take place. So faith is this, believing what God says. We know it's true. We know that we have faith that all things work together for good to them that love God. We have faith that the Lord is coming soon and he's preparing a place for us. We have faith that the Bible says we're seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And faith believes that as a solid conviction and that it will surely come to pass. You know, when we see the reality and the conviction of God's promises, we're not going to be afraid to step out. When God says something, that settles it. And we can trust him every time. Then let's take a look at an example of faith. I like how the Lord likes to flesh out intangible concepts. He talks about faith, but now he gives us examples of faith. And those elders in verse 2 that we're looking at are going to be those that we're going to study in our introductory message today. And we're going to see that many of those elders, and by the way, they're called elders because in the exercise of their faith, they obtain spiritual maturity. We have elders in our church, and those elders are those that have shown themselves to be spiritually mature, and in most cases, that maturity came through the crucible of suffering and the challenges of living life and walking by faith. It did not come by just experiencing good things in life, but many trials and testings. And that's pictured in the lives of these people right here. They went through great suffering, but maturity always comes at great expense. I see Susie play the piano, and I could say glibly, "Oh, I wish I could play the piano that way." But you know what? When Susie learned to play the piano, I bet you her parents sat on her and said, "You're going to practice, and you're going to do, when the other kids want to play, you're going to sit at the keyboard and take time to do your lessons, prepare for your teacher, work on it, practice it." We enjoy the blessing of the keyboard, but you know, many of us that say, "I wish I could play that way," we're not willing to pay the price to get there. Isn't that true? "Oh, I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that." The tremendous work. You saw the Olympics on TV, and you saw people press their bodies to the limit to win gold for the United States of America. "Oh, I wish I could run or swim like that." But are we really willing to put in 12 hours a day doing it and keeping our bodies in tip-top shape? Well, it comes, you see, accomplishment comes through yieldedness to the Spirit of God, but also through suffering and trials and testings. And I believe that one of the reasons why so many of you stand mature in Christ Jesus is that you've gone through the deep waters and have found God's grace to be sufficient. And I might add, does anybody think that all of the examples in verse 2 are perfect people? Anybody think that Abraham was perfect? Anybody think that Noah was a perfect guy? And every little segment of his life, you chop it up in little segments, that every one of those would have been perfect? Not at all. The very fact that any of these people are in here is an expression of grace. It's a manifestation of grace. And by the way, that gives me tremendous faith. Because you know what? If you were to segment my life, or if I were to segment your life in every little part, we would soon find out that none of us would be able to be accepted in the beloved. Certainly not in the Heroes Hall of Faith here. But their very inclusion is by grace. Their intermediate struggles, the intermediate struggles that Abraham had, for instance, are not even recorded in this chapter. Only their ultimate victory. They were not perfect people. And here's the wonderful part about it. I know you're not either. And I know that I'm not. Just talk to Melody. And we are part of the company of those that trust in the Lord. Let's just quickly look at verse 3, and that is the expression of faith. The Word of God says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds," literally the ages, now that's not excluding the doctrine of creationism, because God created the ages and the epochs of time. He created dispensations, yes, but he also created epochs of time, which involve creation, floods, catastrophes, dispensations. That's all within the context. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You know, the world today, talk to Carl Sagan. By the way, I have a secret for you. Are you ready? Listen carefully, okay? Pastor Melody always says, "Pastor John, you don't know how to whisper. You try to whisper something and it's all over the restaurant, you know." Well, I'm going to whisper something to you. Carl Sagan is a creationist now. Did you know that? Yeah, because he died already. And he knows better. That's right. You know, Carl Sagan, interestingly enough, he said, "Well, I'm going to come up with my own version of intelligent design." And he started in the latter years of his life saying, "Well, you know what?
I can believe in intelligent design. Extraterrestrial visitation. Yeah. They came here. And that's how things got started.
Then you got another clown by the name of Oliver Morton who believes in transpermia. He believes that life hitchhiked here on the surface of a meteorite, and that molecular organisms that were found on many of these meteors when they came and collided into the earth transplanted and hitchhiked life over into our planet. You know, it's amazing to me how ridiculous the explanations of men are. Somebody once said it takes more faith to believe that kind of gobbledygook than what God has said in his word. But it says by faith we believe that the worlds were framed by the very word of God. He spoke and it was created. And by the way, he didn't use pre-existing material. No meteorites, no extraterrestrial visitations, no types of humanistic explanations. God spoke ex nihilo. Out of nothing, he created the heavens and the earth. And he did not use pre-existing matter, because it says, by faith we believe that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And you know, through faith, we can see that God created the heavens and the earth. But in closing, and I'm going to give you one scripture, look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, if you have a problem believing in the creation of the old earth by the word of God, if you have a problem, you're among all men most miserable, because you know what? You have nothing to look forward to. But the faith that we have looks forward, 2 Peter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You see, faith has always been responding to God's revealed word. And he has told us how we got the old earth, but you know what? Wrapped up in that is the promise of the new. And I'm thankful that I can trust in God's word. And I'm thankful that we have the old patriarchs of the earth. Although they were not perfect by any means, they responded in their circumstance, in their setting, in their situation, by faith, and stepped out. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the life of a man called Abel. A man called Abel who expressed faith, not in man, not in that which was convenient, not in that which was man-centered, but a response to the revealed word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray for one another that we might be men and women of faith. And Lord, of course, our prayers are now for Nancy in the midst of her need at this time, Lord, for your comfort and your grace, and for Jim as he seeks to encourage her. Lord, many of us have gone through this valley of the shadow. But Lord, we do pray for special grace and strength. Lord, thank you for the life of faith. And Lord, that old acrostic, forsaking all, I will trust him. We claim that for Nancy today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.